You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as a record-equalling front nine helps Chris Wood to victory at the BMW PGA Championship.
Amazing. It's so hard to put into words at the moment. Yeah, I've got my best friends, I've got my fiance, my family. It's so special to win in front of them.
We'll congratulate Chris Wood live on the show in a few minutes' time. A shot behind the Englishman was Sweden's Richard Carlberg, with Masters champion Danny Willett third.
You know, looking at the scores now, we could have made it really close today if we'd have got going, but we just threw too many mistakes at it. So, you know, if we get a top five finish, it's all right, but obviously, you know, you're working hard to try and win.
So a full review of the BMW PGA Championship is on the way, and we'll look ahead to the Nordea Masters as well. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me this morning is John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Bit tired after watching the PGA, but understandable.
Yeah, it's quite a test, Wentworth, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. Over 7,000 yards, been altered over the years. Was in great nick this year, I thought, because the weather hadn't been that warm to bring the golf course on, but they made a fantastic job of it. And it turned out to be, well, a stunning event, as it always is. The flagship event.
Yeah, it was quite a bunch leaderboard, and it sort of was crying out for somebody to kind of take the bull by the horns. And my goodness me, didn't Chris Wood do that in the front nine?
He did, yeah, because, well, he got off to the perfect start, didn't he? Birdied the first, he eagled the fourth, he birdied the fifth. I think he birdied seven as well, and nine, and went out in 29. I mean, 29 shots.
Yeah.
You couldn't dream of that on Sunday at Wentworth, because that is... All right, there are chances on the front nine, but he's still got to play great golf, and he certainly did.
Richard Carlberg had a great round of golf, 65, but way ahead of the leaders, so he posted an early score. Did you think at some point that actually, because the finish is playing tough, he might squeak in?
No, when he made the bogey at 16, I thought that might be his undoing, because he would have then posted 9 under, wouldn't he? I just thought it was going to be a shot shy. He went over the back of 16, great up and down for a bogey. But a fantastic final round. I mean, much gold was earned by him and all sorts of things, you know, that it's going to bring him. Even though when he went to warm up, you know, Chris Wood... All right, did he fall over the line? He made a couple of mistakes coming in, but he had that cushion, so...
Well, you go out in 29, and that's not going to keep going.
Well, you wouldn't have thought so, because he bogeyed 10, just came up short the green, birdied 11, didn't birdie 12, then great par save at 13.
So it's all going perfectly at this point.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Then he bogeys 14. 15's one of the toughest par fours on the golf course. Hit a great second shot in there, didn't make birdie. Then he bogeyed 16, came up short right in two. Hit a great tee shot at 17, pulled his second shot, and then left himself in the swale and took three more to get down. Suddenly, now, he's on the 18th tee, he's only got a one-shot lead, and fortunately, it was a par five.
Yes, and there are many ways you can play that last hole as well, John.
Yes, and many played it badly. But he went with the three wood off the tee. But I don't think, you know, between him and his caddy, they knew what was occurring coming up the last. Wood wanted to go, I think, with an iron at the green.
Oh, I think his caddy must have done.
Well, maybe, but he went sandwich, and then left himself about 20 feet above the hole, putting down that green. It's not easy to lay the ball dead, and he nudged it 2 foot past, but then he holed it, and he won by a shot, and he looked shocked.
Tough course, though, to hang on.
Oh.
I mean, it used to be, you think, 16, 17, 18, in old currency at Wentworth, they were all birdie holes, and now they're not.
No, because 17, 6, 10, without a bounce down the left, fairway cambers the wrong way when you're trying to draw the ball, so it goes from left to right when you're trying to move it right to left. And you can pull the second shot. The house is eating up the left-hand side.
And the 16th green, and that's, I'm sure it's got a windmill on it.
Yeah, and the pin was back right. Horrible place. And so many people have been caught out by 16 over the years. Really, it's, as you know and I do, it's 3 or 4 iron off the tee, and then a shortish iron in. But players over the years, with the traps up the left and the water hazard, have found it a real problem. So the finish, although you'd think there's chances, still takes some playing.
If you throw 15 in there as well, most of the field were possibly over par for those four holes.
There was a few. I mean, Willett went out in 29 one day.
Well, it is Willett.
And came back in 39. Wai Yang came back in about 42 yesterday. I don't know what it is with that back nine on the West course, but it causes all sorts of problems.
Yeah, three par fives. And they're not... 12 is a birdie hole, but certainly 17 and 18, they take some playing.
Well, 12 now, really, is a decent par four that's a par five. There's, you know, you can quite easily make three on there.
Well, at one point they made that a par four, didn't they? And it was silly, because it's got to be a bit balanced to the course. You've got to give a little bit, because you're taking an awful lot away from the field at the end.
There's stretches on that golf course where you think you can attack. You know, you like to try and get through the first three holes in ideally 4-2-4, which takes some doing, and then you've got a par five to come. The fifth isn't that easy. Six, seven, and eight are
tricky.
Half chances, yep. And then nine's, you just want four up nine. 10's a half chance, and 11, and 12, and then 13, 14, 15.
Cool, we're going all the way around, aren't we?
I've just gone up the hill now.
Yep.
And then the last three holes, as we've discussed, you know, can cause problems.
Do you think Danny Willett will look back at this event as one that got away?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, he birdied the last to finish third, but his third round, 76, obviously didn't do him any good.
No, that did for him. But it doesn't matter because Chris Wood is the champion. I'm very pleased to say that Chris is joining us on the line now, plugging straight into the Race to Dubai show. Chris, after that victory, you must feel pretty good.
I do. Well, I don't actually. I'm struggling a little bit this morning after a bit of a celebration with friends and family last night. But yeah, obviously, it's an amazing feeling to be the BMW PGA champion. It's a huge event for us. You know, it's our flagship event on tour, on British soil, in front of sort of home crowds, and to win in front of my family is something I've always wanted to do. And yeah, they were all there yesterday. Really, really special.
Chris, Saturday night, you're sort of looking where you stood, looking at the leaderboard. What were you thinking? What was your plan?
I wanted to shoot 67. That was my target. I thought, there were 17 guys within five shots. And when it's like that, it's anybody's to win. And you really just got to put a score on the board. And if it's good enough, it is. It's good enough. If it's not, it's not. You know, it's quite easy to get caught up in what others are doing because there's so many with a chance. But I just tried to stay into my own game like any other sort of day. And if they all added up at the end, that was all I was looking to do, really.
Finished fourth last year, and then you get up Sunday morning and you go and warm up, and then you go out in 29 shots. You couldn't have dreamed of that, could you?
No. That's the best golf I've ever played, I think, first nine holes. I didn't miss a shot, but Punk, McCaddy and I, we had perfect numbers yesterday. You know, some days it just works out that you've got a perfect 8-iron or a perfect 6-iron. You don't need to take anything off it or do anything with the ball. And we just sort of felt, with those numbers that we had, could just be aggressive at the flags. And obviously that paid off, so things just worked out nicely.
Richard Culbo posted a score very early. In your mind, was he the guy you had to get past?
I didn't know. I accidentally saw the leaderboard on the 17th green. But I didn't see who. I just saw me on 10 and somebody on 8. But I didn't know if that 8 under had 3 or 4 holes to go, or if they'd finished, or if they were playing the last.
Did you not want to find out?
No, the first time I sort of really knew the situation was after my tee shot on 18. We stood over the ball about to hit the second shot, and I almost had 6-iron in my hand, and Punk was like, oh, hold on a second there. Let's just hit the slam wedge. So, you know, I sort of put it in his hands, really, because he knew where we stood. And, you know, he made the decision, really, to lay up. So I hit sandwich, which seems a bit pathetic, really, on a par five. But there's no miss, is there, on that 18th green. And, you know, it was a great decision.
Might have stood you in good stead, because you held that good par putt. You didn't birdie 12, you held that good par putt at 13. Then you bogeyed 14. Bogeyed 16 and 17. What was sort of in your mind on the 18th tee then? If you hadn't seen a leaderboard, did you think my chance was probably gone?
No, because you can tell with the crowd. I mean, I had such great support. They were encouraging me all the way. And Punk said, let's hit 5-wood off 18 to take the bunkers out. And from him saying that, I sort of thought, right, we're playing it as a 3-shotter. But I've hit 3-wood all week and I just felt happy with that. I can just hit a little cut sort of off the bunkers with 3-wood. And, you know, I wanted to make a birdie down the last because that's what I felt I needed. But when we got to the ball, obviously, he told me we didn't. So I just hit the shot that I was most comfortable with, really, off the tee.
Did he say to you, Chris, 5 and we win?
No, he basically just said, let's lay it up. I think we should lay it up. And then I hit my wedge shot onto the green about, 15, 20 feet. And he just said, knock it in. So even then, I didn't know. And I think you can tell by my reaction when I knocked in the 2-footer. I had a good stare at the board because I genuinely didn't know. And it was a huge sort of sigh of relief, really, more than anything else. And then to have my parents behind the green on 18 was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I saw them all. You looked a little bit in shock. Sounds to me you've had a bit of a result, really, because you didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, well, I think it helps, to be honest, because the last sort of 6 or 7 holes at Wentworth are tough whenever you're playing. Yeah, if you're trying to make a cut or if you're leading the tournament or you're trying to chase the leader, they're tough holes. So I think a lot of guys made a few bogeys coming in, which is easily done. Yeah, and I was no different.
So, Chris, the big check, all the Ryder Cup points that you'd like, it's pointing towards a very good summer.
Yeah, there's all sorts of on the agenda, I suppose, yeah. Obviously, events like this are the ones you've got to do well in to try and give yourself a chance of making the Ryder Cup team. And that's all I'm looking to do, give myself a chance. That'll be a huge sort of achievement and something I need to start sort of getting my head around, really, that I have got a chance and I need to push on and try and cement my place.
Well, you've moved to third in the European points list at the moment. Obviously, a huge leap. So, confidence-wise, after winning that, where do you go from here now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge boost to my confidence. But, yeah, I've got a week off now, and then I'm going to defend in Austria. And then from there, I go to the US Open. So, I mean, if anywhere can maybe knock your confidence, it might be a US Open. It's so tough. But, obviously, my game's in good shape heading out to those events. And then obviously back over to Europe where, you know, we've got France, we've got Germany, we've got Scotland and then the Open. And yeah, there's a great summer of golf to be played.
Chris, listen, it's a fantastic win. It's the step in your career that you've been looking for. And, you know, I see a really bright summer for you coming. And all the big events are just around the corner, aren't they? So it must be great to be Chris Wood.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Well done.
Chris, thanks very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show. A brilliant win. And I'll see you in Austria. And I'll hold your hand as we fly across to Oakmont.
See you there. Thanks,
will do. Guys. God, he's thrilled, John, isn't he?
Well, wouldn't you be? I mean,
you would.
Think he's a bit frosty around the gills this morning.
What, a little night out?
Yeah.
Well, I think you've got to remember your celebrations, your victories.
Golfers are not very good at patting themselves on the back, and I think he probably did last night.
Well, it was his third European Tour victory in his 195th event. Name the other two, John.
Qatar, Austria.
Correct. And it's his largest European Tour prize, no surprise there, over €833,000. It moves him past the €7 million mark in European Tour official career earnings. OK, let's hear now from Richard Carlberg, who finished second, one shot back on 8-under par after an exceptional 65 that featured an ace on the second hole.
Really tough golf course, and to be able to do that on a Sunday, I'm very thrilled. That hole in one gave me a booster, so I'm thrilled.
Like you say, John, Richard, delighted with that performance and, well, it's a lot of things taken care of now, isn't it, with that one round of golf.
He can turn his season around. I mean, he's won on the European Tour. I waited for him to win. He won the Italian Open. He's perhaps not kicked on from that, but maybe this will be it.
Well, Danny Willett, we talked about him and perhaps he'll rue the chances he had. He had been 12-under par for the week through 27 holes, which was incredible, but he ended up third on 7-under par.
There's a lot of good in there, but the bad shots around here this week have been pretty bad and we've struggled to get up and down from a few of them. Just struggled to get anything going on the weekend. You know, looking at the scores now, we could have made it really close today if we'd have got going and kept the foot down, but we just threw too many mistakes at it. So, you know, if we get a top five finish, it's all right, but obviously, you know, you're working hard to try and win. We ripped the flag out for a couple of days last week and a couple of days this week and made a lot of birdies, a lot of easy birdies, and then just getting them bad shots a little bit better, working away and 2 weeks off, which is nice. Have a bit of time completely chilling and doing nothing. We've had 3 weeks in a row, which is quite a lot of golf for me. And then a week then to kind of wind it back up and get ready for Oakmont.
How about Danny Willett, chances at Oakmont?
You'd have to say pretty good, but the 76, as I mentioned in the third round, he'll have to get rid of that and be a little bit more consistent if he's to be champion there. But he's playing great golf. And
76 might be a good score at Oakmont.
Yes, it might be. They like to get a bit firm and fast, don't they?
It's going to be the hardest golf course I think you've ever seen in a major championship.
But fair.
Well, let's see. Let's see what the scoring's like at Oakmont. If it's dry and it's running...
All the best.
Oh, all the very best. Julian Cam was paired with Chris Wood in that final round. He finished tied fourth on 6-under par.
I play good golf today, like yesterday. I just missed maybe some few putts, but I'm quite happy about this week. I finished top five here, so it's a great week. Chris Wood playing amazing golf, so I think it was too strong for me today. I was telling my caddy all the first nine holes, every shot he made, I was telling him, wow, perfect shot for all the flags and putting very good, and I'm happy for him.
Big check, John, for Julian Ken.
I mean, he's a two-time winner on tour. I think he's quite underrated, Julian Ken. They all go on about Romain Wattel, who also played well. having not won on tour, but Ken has won twice in the Mediterranean, and I think he won the Italian Open as well.
Very good player. He'll be looking forward to the French Open. That's creeping up. That's not very far away at all. Now, the other golfers who tied for fourth with Ken were his fellow Frenchman Romain Vatel and South Africa's Thomas Aiken, who said conditions made scoring difficult.
It was a tough day out there today. I think from really the back nine coming in, the wind started swirling around, made things on a tough golf course even tougher, and happy with the overall result, but obviously a little bit disappointed because we're in a great position to win. It was a fantastic event. BMW, hats off to you guys again. People came out in the hundreds of thousands almost, I think. The UK gave us some sunshine, so it's a great test of golf, always has been, always will be, and I hope that when they start the renovations, I think tomorrow, they turn it into something even better.
Johnny, please, can you give me the top 10 from the BMW PGA Championship?
I will do that. We know that Chris Wood won in the end by one shot from Richard Carlberg. Third was Danny Willett, the Masters champion. Then fourth tied was Thomas Aitken with Julian Ken and Romain Vatel. Seventh tied, Tyrrell Hatton looking for his first victory. Andrew Johnston, Martin Keimer, Jaco van Zyl and Fabrizio Zanotti. And that is actually the top 11.
That's the top 11. Scott Henn didn't finish inside the top 11, leading going into the final round. Didn't get off to a great start and it just fell away from there. So in the end, he finished tied 15th. But it was a real opportunity, John, for him to win the massive tournament.
Well, it was. But, you know, these things happen. There'll be a few scratching their head saying, oh, I could be champion.
Now let's hear from one more golfer, England's James Morrison, whose hole-in-one up the hill at the 14th won him a BMW i8.
From the ditch on the last, making double bogey to hitting the best shot I've hit all week and hit it straight down the flag and just watched the highlights there, and it's gone at real speed. So it saved my caddy a bit of an earful because it hadn't gone in, that would have gone over the green. So, but it went in, and there's a great feeling when it goes in. Crowd were amazing. I'm going to keep the car for sure. Yeah, I've been looking at a new car for myself anyway. So, yeah.
Try to steer clear of Rickard Kullberg. He aced the second, he doesn't win anything.
I'm going to tweet him tonight and Facebook him and text him and everything. He's going to get it from both barrels.
Did you see the celebration with James Morrison picking up Andy Sullivan running up to the front of that green?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it was very funny. He had him over his shoulder and Andy Sullivan was using his club as a pretend whip to keep the horsey going. It was really, really good. Terrific moment for James Morrison. And before we get to the fancy race to Dubai tips, worth mentioning Scott Jameson's ace at the 10th, which yielded a car for him.
And it's a great viewing spot, 10, isn't it? I mean, last year, Johnston holed it, won a car. Jameson's holed it there. Unfortunately, Carlberg at the second didn't win a car, and then Morrison holds it at 14. And, of course, Wood won, holed it at 14 last year.
That's right. It must have been an omen for him. There was a sign for Chris Wood, if you saw what happened last year. And in the fancy race to Dubai tips, I went for Rafa Cabrera-Bey, who at one point was contending. In the end, he let it slide. He tied 22nd. Jamie Spence, in your absence, John, went for Shane Lowry, who was much fancied to do well this week. He's finished second there before, but he missed the cut. Now, in last week's fancy race to Dubai game, it was Giuseppe Buscacci who led the way. His team of six Englishmen scored heavily with Chris Wood as captain, Danny Willett as vice-captain, plus Westwood, Hatton, Sullivan and Morrison. Overall, there's a new leader, Moira Gordon, thanks to a good week at the BMW PGA Championship. To pick your fantasy team, just go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour and check out the new daily fantasy game too. Now, can we have the top 10 in the race to Dubai standings, please, John?
It's led by Danny Willett, Rory McIlroy second, Louis Oosthuizen third, Rafa Cabrera-Bey of fourth, Chris Wood fifth, Henrik Stenson sixth, Lee Westwood seventh, Brandon Grace eighth, Joost Luiten ninth, and Richard Carlberg is 10th.
Beautifully done. And a look at the Ryder Cup standings. I know it's a little bit early, but worth keeping note from now onwards because of the big tournaments coming up and the changes that can happen each and every week.
And there's been a big one, courtesy of the PGA. So let's go off the European points list, which is four. So it goes Danny Willett, Rory McIlroy, Chris Wood, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Then you go to the world list, where five players are eligible from there. And at the moment, it's Henrik Stenson, Justin Rose coming back from injury, Garcia, who's just won in America, Rafa Cabrera-Bey, who's not won this year, and Andy Sullivan. He's the last man in, and then Darren Clarke has three picks, and they'll be interesting.
Oh, they certainly will, and that's all coming our way in the autumn. Now, in other news, in the US, Jordan Spieth, after having a collapse in the final round at the Byron Nelson the week before, won the Dean and DeLuca Invitational at Colonial Country Club in amazing style, just a rip-roaring back nine. He was absolutely incredible.
I wasn't sure how long it would take to get over the hurdle of having to come into every single interview room, listen to crowds, only talk about what happened a month ago. And it's very difficult, and I'm 22, it's not like, you know, I hadn't won, and we'd won two majors. So it's very difficult to stay present, stay positive when that's happening, when those are the only questions. So in our third tournament back, to come back and close this one out the way we did is really, really special, and something that to get through and to come out on top here, no matter what happens in the next 30 years of my career, this will be one of the most important days that I've ever had.
Well, he's a Dallas boy, and Fort Worth is just across town, really, not too far away. So he won in front of a lot of patriotic fans, his first win in Texas. And to win like that, John, after what happened to him at the Masters, which he was referring to, was incredible.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously important for him to get back. I think he had 9 putts on the back nine?
He had 9 putts on the back nine. Admittedly, a lot were birdies. He chipped in for a birdie as well. He had a chip and putt bogey save. It was just extraordinary because Harris English, Ryan Palmer and Jordan, it looked between those three which one of those was going to make the move and really claim the tournament, and it was Jordan Spieth, 22 years of age. He becomes the second youngest 8-time winner on the PGA Tour behind Horton Smith. He's now overtaken Tiger as wins for a 22-year-old. So that's, if you're looking for indicators as to what his career might yield, that's a pretty strong one. Fantastic effort from Jordan Spieth. Now, the top three players in the world, Jason Day, Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, they've all just won recently. It's quite incredible. And they're all going to the Memorial Tournament on Thursday, having won their last event. So
I don't think that will have ever happened before. Top three in the world have all just recently won. They're all playing. Yeah, that'll be a real old ding-dong. That's, of course, Jack's course.
Very nice for Jack Nicklaus, that, to have that happening at his event.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, staying in the US, but on the European Senior Tour, Rocco Mediate won the Senior PGA Championship in Michigan. Colin Montgomery was second, with Bernard Langer tied third. So Monty narrowly missed out winning the same event in the last 3 years. So good effort, Monty. Damien Perrier claimed his maiden European Tour title at the D+D Real Czech Challenge. So well done to Damien. Always important to get off the mark as a winner on the Challenge Tour. European Ryder Cup captain Darren Clarke has selected Padraig Harrington, Thomas Bjorn and Paul Laurie as three of his vice-captains for the event. It will be the fourth time for Bjorn, while Harrington also fulfilled the role 2 years ago. But it's the first time as vice-captain for Laurie. Clarke plans to appoint two more vice-captains later in the year. I wonder who they'll be.
I think he's probably waiting to see a couple of players that he thinks probably got a chance of making it, and if they don't, he'll bring them in on the sidelines.
I've got a feeling he might choose Ian Poulter as a vice-captain if Poults doesn't get his game together in the summer.
Well, he's got a tough decision. I mean, Poulter's been picked as a wild card before.
He'd be good in the team room, though, Poults.
He'd be good in match play because, you're not having to go out and shoot 65, necessarily.
We shall see. That's coming our way.
He'd be a good motivator.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. You know, he'd be making all the right noises and he'd be geeing them all up, no doubt about that. Masters champion Danny Willett is now an honorary life member of the European Tour after a presentation last week. Willett also received the Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Month, no surprise there, for April in recognition of his stunning victory at Augusta. And Kodai Ichihara, Shugo Imahira, Sang-hee Lee and Hideto Tanihara have qualified for the Open after the Mizuno Open in Japan. KT Kim actually won the event but was already sure of his place at Royal Troon. Now, the top 10 in the world, please, John.
The top 10 in the world. Well, we just mentioned the three before. Day at number one, Jordan Spieth. Number two, Rory McIlroy, three. Bubba Watson, four. Ricky Fowler, five. Henrik Stenson, six. Adam Scott, seven. Dustin Johnson, eight. And then two Englishmen, Danny Willett, nine. And Justin Rose, 10.
And Chris Wood moves up to 22nd from 54th in the world. So just outside the top 20 for Chris. And he's moving upwards, onwards and upwards. This week's event on the European Tour is the Nordea Masters from Brohofslot. You've been there, John?
I have, and I can tell you, off the back tees, that golf course is 8,300.
Which, for you, is a little on the short side.
I don't go that far on holiday.
That's right. They don't use all the back tees, of course. But
no, but they will do. It's been built for, you know, technology and everything. And, yeah, I was there, and Norrin won round there.
Yeah, he did. Now, it's an event that is a favourite of our own Lee Westwood.
I'm looking forward to going back. I think it may be the last tournament I won in Europe. So it's a good golf course. I've won the tournament 3 times in 3 different decades. So I'm looking forward to going back there and trying to win it again.
It was under a different name, but it was also the first tournament that you won in the European Tour as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's got a lot of special memories for me. So, yeah, it was a good win back in 96, I think it was, in Gothenburg. And then I won again in Stockholm in 2000, and then again in Stockholm in 2012. So it's been a good tournament for me, and I've always played pretty well there.
Now, 2012 was Brohof, so you know this course well. Is it one that particularly suits
I guess so. I've been there once and won, so it's in a great spot on the side of the lake there, and there's a good variation of holes. It's an exciting finish. You've got the Island Green 17th, which always throws up a bit of interest. So, yeah, it's a great tournament.
It is a great tournament on a great golf course. Alex Noren, defending champion. You said, John, it's a long golf course, but what's the style of links? What style of course is it? Quite a bit of water.
There's quite a bit of water on it, yes. But you start off with a par 5. It can get pretty windy around there as well. So, you know, I mean, it favours the longer hitter. Quite generous off the tee. Lovely greens, but quite a flat golf course.
Yeah, some beautiful vistas out into the Sound there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a gorgeous place, it really is. So, who's playing? Give us a flavour of the field.
Well, we just heard from Westwood, but Henrik Stenson's going down there. Robert Carlsen, former winner of the Race to Dubai. Wai Yang, who's playing nicely. Manasero, not been playing great, going down there with Alvaro Quiroz, who is also having a bit of a torrid time. And then Lara Tharbel, Thomas Peters is going down there. Might favour him. Oliver Wilson, who won a couple of years ago at St Andrews and hasn't played very well since. Mark Warren's down there. He's been going through some swing changes. Mikko Ilonen, he's been quiet of late. So it'll be a great tournament. Of course, Richard Carlberg finished second last week. He might be a good tip this week.
Well, let's see how good a tip you think he is, because when I ask you who you're going to pick, you could well pick Richard Carlberg.
Well, I could.
And?
I'm going to go for Richard Carlberg.
Good man. Yeah, Richard Carlberg, he must be full of confidence after. You can shoot 65 in the final round around Wentworth. You can win anywhere.
Mm.
So a great round of golf last week from Richard and a second place finish to Chris Wood, of course. I'm going to counter that with somebody who was there or thereabouts last week and has won in Sweden before. I'm going to go with Lee Westwood.
Well, that'll be interesting. So it's Mike Carlberg against your Westwood.
It is indeed. And that's it for now. Next week, we will review the Nordea Masters from Sweden and then preview the Lioness Open in Austria. That's where Chris Wood next plays. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and now on Snapchat as well. But for now, from John Hawksworth,
enjoy Sweden,
and myself, Robert Lee, it's bye for now.